Welcome to episode one of the podcast Music Collaboration Online. Today, I would like to clear up some confusion about available types of online music collaboration. To do this, I will break it down into three key collaborative approaches, and I will include examples of software platforms for each of these approaches.
Welcome to the School of Music Collaboration podcast, helping you to navigate the world of online and offline music collaboration. Your host is Dr. Martin Koshoko, an expert in collaborative strategies and tools for music makers. To contact us or access further resources, visit musiccollaboration.online.
Online music collaboration and remote music collaboration are two terms that I often use interchangeably. In my experience, online music collaboration is sometimes perceived as one homogeneous approach, particularly when it comes to people who have heard about it but didn't try it out for themselves, or people who have always collaborated in the same way. I think this perception can be quite misleading or leading to confusion, so today I will make a distinction between what I see as three different collaborative approaches available to remotely located musicians. So let's name these approaches, and I will do it in no particular order as they are not necessarily sequential. Online music collaboration approach number one, or perhaps we can refer to it as approach A, is virtual studio-based collaboration. Approach B is real-time online jamming, sometimes also called networked music performance. And approach C is the use of online marketplace networking for music makers. And this variety of approaches indicates that musicians nowadays live in a world of abundant collaborative options. However, the reason for this episode is that often when I bring up the topic of online music collaboration, I sense that people are not always aware of all available approaches. I also discovered that people tend to make certain assumptions about online music collaboration, and one of those assumptions is the belief that collaborating online has to be about just one way of working. And to define our three ways of collaborating, I will start with virtual studio-based collaboration. This type of work is all about joint songwriting, recording, and production. And in this type of collaboration, we have multiple musicians accessing one virtual studio project based in the cloud. In online studio collaboration, musicians work in synchronous, asynchronous, or hybrid ways. At some stage, I will make a separate podcast episode speaking a bit more about synchronous and asynchronous work. But in regard to virtual studio-based collaboration, both types of work are applicable and can be used depending on the need of the project and, of course, depending on whether the chosen collaborative platform supports a specific way of synchronizing our creative efforts. Before I mention any examples of software platforms that allow musicians to access virtual studio collaboration, I would like to clarify that in this episode, I don't intend to present an exhaustive list of all available collaborative platforms, primarily because we have a large and constantly growing number of these platforms, and it would just take too long to list all of them here, and it's not really the point of this episode anyway. So I will just bring up a few examples, but trust me, there is a lot more out there. So first, let's look at some examples of dedicated digital audio workstations that facilitate collaborative music making in virtual studio settings. My first example of such platform is AudioTool. It's a web browser-based collaborative platform, And it's quite unique in that sense that it offers a modular system resembling working with hardware electronic devices. So it is targeting people who choose to work with electronic music production, and it's a fully fledged digital audio workstation with collaborative features where multiple musicians can work on one project together and use various ways of communicating with one another. My next example is BandLab, which is also a DAW that runs in a web browser, and like Audio Tool, it features MIDI and audio tracks, plus a collection of effects and editing tools. BandLab presents itself more like a traditional digital audio workstation, so you don't get the modular look that was available in Audio Tool. BandLab also comes with a very large community of users. Earlier this year, I have heard that BandLab's user base now boasts 30 million accounts. Audio Tool and many other collaborative DAWs are also associated with large communities of users, often measured in hundreds of thousands. So those were examples of two web browser-based DAWs, and my third example for today is a standalone collaborative DAW, and it's called Ohm Studio. It's an excellent collaborative solution, however, its future is currently being decided, as the original developer has announced that they will be closing it down. In response to that, some members of Ohm Studio community have developed a proposal to take over the development of this platform, provided that the original developer would allow for it to become an open source software. And the next few months should show us whether this will be possible. Luckily, in the meantime, the platform is still available and operational. Being standalone means that you can install Ohm Studio on your own computer, and you can also use third-party VST plugins with that platform. So those were three examples of fully featured digital audio workstations designed with online collaboration in mind. However, there might be situations where you might want to use an established DAW, such as Ableton Live, Pro Tools, Logic, and so on, and use it in a collaborative fashion. So in that case, you would need to use a content management system, for example, Splice or Blend, or a plugin that sits in your DAW and streams high-quality bidirectional audio, and sometimes MIDI information as well. So examples of such plugins include Source Elements, Sonobus, Satellite, and Audio Movers, among others. So what we've covered so far was our first example of an available approach to online or remote music collaboration, and that was all about collaborating in a cloud-based virtual studio setting where you would co-write and co-record and mix and produce with other people. And let's move to the second approach to online music collaboration, which is equally important and arguably equally popular, and it's live jamming, sometimes also referred to as networked music performance. In this type of collaboration, you perform together with other musicians in real time over the internet. And in such context, you can think about group performances in front of online audiences or bands rehearsing their material privately with the participants connected online and developing new ideas for songs or getting ready for a future concert. To be able to jam live, we incorporate various standalone or plug-in applications that support low-latency audio streaming. I already have mentioned some of these applications, for example, Sonobus, as many of the tech solutions useful for networked performance can be also used in the context of a virtual recording studio, particularly when it comes to plugins streaming audio between remotely located DAWs. And of critical importance in relation to networked live music, is the notion of low latency audio streaming. I was recently discussing this topic with Rebecca Wilson from Source Elements, and one issue that she has raised was how latency can be used as a creative tool, leading musicians to new forms of expression. And you will be able to hear my conversation with Rebecca in the next episode of this podcast. But for now, one thing to keep in mind is that we will always have to deal with latency, which is the aspect of having various degrees of time delay between when we trigger a musical action, for example, pluck a string on the guitar, and the moment in time when our collaborators will hear the sound that we are triggering. And that time delay will always be present, no matter how advanced the technology will become, because we are dealing here with the laws of physics, and it does take a certain amount of time for the sound to travel, depending on the distance between the source and the receiving party. However, the latency is not always a reason to stop jamming online, as there are some amazing technological solutions available to us nowadays. And they allow us to facilitate successful networked music performance. I already hinted at the fact that musicians often adapt in very interesting, creative ways to play live online, despite of having to deal with latencies. It is also worth noting that there are a lot of factors, both technological and geographical, which, if understood correctly, can allow us to deal with latency affecting online performers and to minimize it as much as possible. When it comes to what technologies you can use for live music jamming, there is a growing list of products on the market, and they include software like Jamulus, Source Elements, Audio Movers, Jam Kazam, Sonobus, Jacktrip, and a few other options. So it is a growing field, and I will be exploring this area in more detail in my future podcasts. To summarize, the available live jamming solutions are coming in different forms and support different platforms. So you have standalone only solutions, as well as those that come in the form of various plugins that can be inserted in your digital audio workstations. And they can work on Windows, Mac OS, or iOS, and sometimes even Android operating systems. Okay, so let's move on and discuss our third and final example of an approach to online music collaboration. This collaborative approach is a little bit different from the other two, and I refer to it as marketplace networking. Well, what is it, you might wonder? People who would like to collaborate in this way use a variety of online platforms that allow you to network, ask other people to work with you. You can also hire people or make yourself available as a freelancer who could offer music production, performance, songwriting, or mastering or mixing services to other musicians. And examples of these networking platforms include names such as FTR Collabs, Metapop, Sound Better, and Entourage Pro. And there are quite a few others to choose from as well. So these marketplace platforms have been made specifically for musicians, and they are more specialized than generic outsourcing platforms such as Upwork or Freelancer.com. You can create a user profile and advertise your projects or skills to the broader community. And when you find new collaborators, then it's quite likely that you will also need some of the other software solutions that I've mentioned previously in this episode. You will use them for recording and developing your ideas further with newly found musical partners. So while we have these dedicated marketplace networking online platforms that are not connected to a specific recording or audio streaming software, most of the major players in the market of collaborative DAWs come with their own social networking functionality. Collaborative content management systems, such as Blend or Splice, also have their own online communities and communication tools. So the aspect of social networking is built into many cloud-based solutions for musicians as well. And if the collaborative platform of your choice doesn't have social networking functionality built into it, chances are that you will find groups of users of such software on third-party social media apps such as Discord or Facebook groups. They all allow you to benefit from the access to a broader community of users where you can interact and establish collaborative projects with other musicians. As you can hear, there is a bit of an overlap between the functionality of dedicated marketplace networking systems and major collaborative DAOs that also allow musicians to network. The main difference is that pure marketplace platforms are basically recording software agnostic. Tapping into the communities of practice that congregate around a dedicated piece of software was and still is a big element of my own work in the cloud. I often refer to this process as creative crowdsourcing, which is about meeting new people online and establishing collaborative partnerships with them, and these should typically result in co-writing and co-recording new material. With the use of marketplace networking platforms, you can meet musicians interested in the same style of music as you. You can find great session players, songwriters, mixing and mastering engineers, and so on. The collaborative opportunities out there are quite significant, and it is a great way to expand your networks and make your music more social and hopefully also more interesting. So here we go. Those were the three approaches to online music collaboration that I wanted to cover today. They were A, virtual studio-based work, B, live jamming, also known as networked music performance, and C, marketplace networking. I hope that making the distinction between those three approaches will help to avoid confusion when referring to online music collaboration. I think in discussions on music collaboration, it's valuable to clarify which of those three approaches we are talking about, because they require different tools and strategies. And yes, some of them might even overlap, meaning that the tools might be the same in some instances, but in each of these approaches, we focus on different ways of working. These broader categories of collaboration might even further be varied depending on your specific goals and professional situation. And I'm sure these variables will be great topics for discussion in further episodes of this podcast. They can include teaching music performance and music production online. In other words, incorporating online music collaboration in classroom settings. They can also include music hobbyists wanting to expand their creative networks for the purpose of joint songwriting or remixing. Another variable are complex collaborative situations that often occur in professional music team settings, where you might have songwriters, producers, performers, as well as mixing and mastering engineers that sometimes are located in various cities around the world, and they need to work on a single music project. So, this is all for today. I hope you have enjoyed this very first episode of the Music Collaboration Online podcast. Stay tuned for the upcoming episodes featuring my interviews with representatives of companies that create collaborative software. If you have any questions about the content of this episode, or if you would like any help with choosing, setting up, and successfully using collaborative tools in your music teaching or creative practice, you can reach out to me via my website, musiccollaboration.online. You can also join my free and private Facebook group, where I share live streams, tips, and discussions on collaborative tools and strategies for musicians. If you find this podcast interesting, please subscribe, because there are more episodes coming your way. Until then, all the best in your musical endeavors.